WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
You may be unaware of it, but we're currently in the throes of a Jacqueline Suzanne revival. At the New School last week, there was a conference on Suzanne's work. Next month, the L.A. County Museum of Art plans a tribute to the film adaptation of Valley of the Dolls. Two movies based on Suzanne's life are in the works, and Suzanne's biography and some of her novels are being reprinted. Chief among them, her masterpiece, Valley of the Dolls. Book critic Maureen Carrigan advises us all to run for our lives.
Forget Frankenstein or Freddy Krueger. If you want a real fright this Halloween, read Valley of the Dolls. Jacqueline Suzanne's 1966 trash classic, to quote its publisher, has been tragically out of print for over 15 years. The novel has just been reprinted by Grove Press, and it turns out to be a still potent witch's brew of female masochism, catfights, misogyny, and mother bashing. I, thank God, missed out on reading Valley of the Dolls during my formative years. The Godfather was my childhood sneak sex book. Given the choice, I'd still rather grow up with the distorted image of male anatomy I got from Mario Puzo's descriptions of Sonny Corleone than the distorted idea about a woman's reason for being that Suzanne preaches throughout Valley of the Dolls. Remember, an older woman advises a younger one, the most important thing in the world is to have a man who loves you. Dress up for him. Lines like that give me the creeps, but they've also made Valley of the Dolls, the book, as well as the 1967 Patty Duke movie, a gay camp favorite for decades. If you've forgotten or never read Valley of the Dolls, the tale goes like this. Three ambitious girls, and they do refer to themselves as girls, arrive in New York City at the end of World War II. Anne, the beautiful, reserved New Englander, starts her career as a secretary and winds up a supermodel. But her success means nothing because she's caught in a doomed love affair with a British stud who goes by the testosterone-loaded name of Lion Burke. Jennifer, the Marilyn Monroe lookalike, becomes an international sex kitten and eventually commits suicide rather than face a mastectomy and lose her babies, which is what she affectionately nicknames her stupendous breasts. And Neely, the Judy Garland character, ends up a Hollywood star who eats men and amphetamines for breakfast. In fact, all three girls become addicted to pills, which they call dolls, hence the title of the novel. As a literary stylist, Suzanne ranks somewhere below Carolyn Keene, the pseudonymous author of the Nancy Drew mysteries. Like Keene, Suzanne is very big on telegraphing events. Early in the novel, we're told, Anne envied Neely, so vibrant and uncomplicated. Nothing bad could ever happen to someone like Neely. Ominous music, please. But who am I to sneer at Suzanne? I got up at 6 in the morning to finish the last 40 pages of this novel because I couldn't bear to go through a day of teaching not knowing if Anne finally got her man. Apart from the novel's undeniable plot power and its sleaze appeal, what I found compelling and terrifying about Valley of the Dolls was its sociological revelations. Pop literature often contains the prevailing myths of a society in a less disguised manner than works of high art do. That's why Suzanne's novel is a virtual King Tut's tomb of fully preserved 1950s and early 60s assumptions about women. Chief among them is the belief that a woman's worth is defined by her looks. For the girls in Valley of the Dolls, aging is the ultimate horror. How long could she go on like this? Neely asks herself halfway through the novel. She was almost 27, and soon it would begin to show. A few chapters later, Jennifer looks in a mirror and is aghast to discover a wattle, that indefinable slackness in the skin that tells the difference between the 20s and the 30s. Dracula's dread of the dawn was nothing compared to Suzanne's character's fear of sagging. Valley of the Dolls still retains its power to shock. But unlike those first readers who were titillated by all the raunchy passages about oral sex, overdoses, and lesbianism, lots of readers these days will find themselves gasping at the mundane sexism that turns just about every page into a deliciously naughty nightmare.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed the new edition of Valley of the Dolls.